Well, you can find in your Bible Proverbs 18. We're going to look at Proverbs 18 in just a couple of minutes. But listen to this first. I have a poem. Very rarely do I have a poem, so I want you to hear it. Okay? If your lips would keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how, and when, and where. This week we were invited to the Chillicothe High School boys soccer team banquet. Lindy has served as the manager for the soccer team. I believe every year that she's been in high school, the boys historically, for the very first time, won district this year in soccer. And we have a very young program. We have a very, very tough district that we play in, and many of the schools have been at soccer for a long time, and so they were, well-deserved banquet. It was a wonderful banquet, well put together. The food was very good. The program was very good. But as a pastor, I pick up on things, and the Coach Cunningham asked the boys, and probably Lindy, I don't know, maybe the other managers, I want you in one word to describe our soccer season. One word. And they were so good that I went by school the next day and asked Coach Cunningham, could I use these words? Would you give them to me? I want to use these this morning. So here are the one-word descriptions from the Chillicothe boys soccer team on their district championship winning season. So, and they were very good. I mean, they were very good. They were very fun to watch. So, really very proud of them. I'm going to talk about them a little bit more. I mean, we have kids. I don't know if you know this, but we have kids that play soccer in our event center in the wintertime, you know, at least twice a week. I mean, they're in there practicing and so forth, and I kind of stand around and kick the ball a little bit with them and have a good time. But here's the words. Amazing. Historical. Fantastic. Magical. Fun. Champions. Successful. Awesome. Phenomenal. Life-changing. That's two words. Memorable. I did know that. Victory. The best. No idea what this means. Buckets. Probably the kids know. I hope it's not code for curse words. But probably. But I don't know, so I'm innocent. Unforgettable. Incomparable. Adversity. Would you stand together with me as we honor God in reading from His Word this morning? Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Will you look at Proverbs 13 and one verse for me, please, while you're standing there? Proverbs 13 and verse 3. He who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would teach us again today the power of our words, the power of words to destroy, but also the power of words to build. That, Lord, that you would put a guard upon our lips, lest we use our words to tear down others, to tear down even ourselves. And Lord, that you would help us to open our mouths and use our words to bless and to build, to heal and to restore. Teach us these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and be seated if you will, please. Words destroy. I mean, really, I want a show of hands. How many of you remember something terrible, horrible, awful somebody said to you or about you? I mean, you've never forgotten it. I mean, for some of us, something that was said to us, I mean, really altered the course of our life. I mean, it affected us dramatically. It was almost even prophetic then in the way that it damaged us. And then we ended up fulfilling actually what was said over us. I mean, we attached to that word. We attached to that saying. Or some things just, you know, what was repeatedly said over us. I can't even repeat out loud to you in polite company what my own grandmother said about her own children on a repeated basis. You don't think that had an effect on our family? I can't say it out loud. It's that bad. You would think less of me as your pastor if I said it. You're going to have to ask me privately for me to share this with you. It's that bad. It's bad enough that they all remember it and they passed it on. They didn't use it on their own kids, but can you? I mean, it's like a family joke now, but I bet it wasn't funny growing up, being called what they were called by their own mother. And I can speak about her. I performed her funeral service long, long, long time ago. So I'm not doing anybody damage today. But what I'm saying is words destroy. They destroy marriages. They destroy your own children. Come on. They destroy other relationships. I mean, how many relationships have been broken because somebody found out what you said about them? Or how many relationships have been broken because you found out what was said about you by somebody that was supposed to be a dear friend of yours? It destroyed that relationship. Words. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's the biggest lie I've ever heard in my whole life. Bones mend. You know, bruises go away, but those words, they're hard to shake and they destroy. They destroy your own faith. Come on, words that you're saying destroy your dreams, destroy your own attitude, and can destroy your future. How many of you grew up with somebody saying to you, if you don't have anything good to say? That's a really good thing. If you don't have anything good to say, say nothing. That would be like really good advice if we heeded it. Look at James chapter 1, if you will, please. Verse 26. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue. Okay, let me stop here. Some people, and I understand where this comes from, but religious has been turned into this bad, horrible, terrible word. It's not bad, horrible, terrible in this context. So if you think you're spiritual, if you think you're really close to God, because some people really brace against the word religious, but in this context, I'm telling you, it's a good word, and it's said in a beneficial way. If you think you're close to God, you think your religion is really benefiting your life, it's really making a difference in the world, if you think, you know, that you're religious, but you don't bridle your own tongue. If a person does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. I love the Bible. I love the Bible that it doesn't leave you in the dark here. If you go to church five times a week, and you teach Sunday school, and you work at the food pantry, and you come and help us at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is a really good idea, you know. But you're full of gossip and full of backbiting and full of hatred with your words and full of anger with your words and you know, just speaking doubt and unbelief and always expressing and giving voice to your worries and your complaints. It's just pretty clear you're a hearer of the word. But James says the real action, the real ground to be gained is in the doing of the word. And one of the things that's like vitally important, that's like cardinal rule in all of our lives, is what's coming out of our mouth. Jesus said that out of the abundance of a man's heart, his mouth. So we know what's going on in the inside of you. All we have to do is be around you enough to just hear what's coming out of your lips. So if you want this following Jesus thing to really make a huge difference in your life and bring about the transformation that you really are longing for, then take notice of what's coming out of your mouth. In fact, it's so important to him. Chapter 3 and verse 2, he picks it back up again and says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man. Wow. So in other words, we're not there yet. I said, so in other words, we still have some room to grow. He's a perfect man. Also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. It doesn't matter what's going on. Come on, in the ocean. It doesn't matter the waves or the wind. If the pilot decides we're going over there, he turns the wheel and a little bitty rudder in relationship to the size of the ship turns that whole thing and makes it go exactly where he wants it to go. Even so, verse 5, even so the tongue, it's a little member, and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Come on, this is some serious stuff here. I'm fascinated what Christians get fixated on and make a big deal about. I don't even give you the list. Well, I'll give you one. Every time this time of year, we hear, and it markets well to fundamental Christians. They won't even say Merry Christmas in department stores anymore. Okay. We'll make a big deal about that. We're going to boycott the stores that don't say Merry Christmas, they say Happy Holidays. And we obsess over those kinds of things. And yet at the same time, we don't put a guard on our mouth. Come on. And we all the things I've already said. And you could do that in Sunday school. You could talk bad about somebody who's not there, and nobody would correct you. No one would say, now you just need to shut your mouth right now, and we're going to boycott you. We're not going to listen to one more thing that you say. Are you seeing where I'm going with this? We make a big deal out of little things. We make a big deal out of what unbelievers are doing. It's easier to point the finger. than to just examine ourselves. And guys, I wish I could stand up here, I really do, and say I'm a perfect man in this sermon that I'm preaching today. I wish I could stand up and say I'm an example to you. You know, just follow me as I follow the Lord. But as you've heard me say oftentimes, I preach to myself and invite you to come listen. So I'm preaching at me this morning. I'm embarrassed and ashamed of how much non-Jesus stuff comes out of my mouth. And so much damaging stuff. That's probably not hurting anybody else, but it's hurting me and anybody that's around me that has to listen to that negativity. Come on, somebody. This is a big, big deal. Like, fires are set and it comes from hell. I said, it comes from hell. That's not where I want to go, and that's not where I want to be coming from. That's not what I want to be representing. So this is like a big, hairy, honking deal, isn't it? Like, what's coming out of our mouth? Everybody, wonderful confession that you can make together, all together. We love the pastor. Everybody? See how wonderful that felt? Just to say that out loud. Verse 7, it helped me a lot, even though I was begging for it. Verse 7, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. I mean, we've seen lions tamed. We've just had the distinct pleasure of riding elephants in Thailand, and we've ridden elephants in Zimbabwe. I mean, that's a pretty cool thing to tame, like the biggest, wildest. I mean, you've been to the circus, you've seen every kind of animal tamed. We absolutely, people don't believe it, but we have a painting in our house that was painted by an elephant. Saw it happen. Paintbrush in hand, dipped the paint in this color and painted. I'm being an elephant with the trunk. All right. Painted a flower. I've seen elephants playing soccer. It's easier to train an elephant than it is to train your own tongue. That's what it says. I mean, you're fascinated that an elephant can paint. I'm fascinated of how much junk still comes out of our mouth. Because if we could get that thing under control, we would be far closer to perfection. I mean, Paul said, I just keep pressing forward, that I would become more intimately acquainted with Jesus. I want to identify with Jesus. I don't count that I've apprehended anything. I put everything behind, and I keep pressing forward. I mean, we're pressing towards perfection. So stop saying things like, well, we just all sin every day. Well, yeah, if you keep saying that, you will. I bet you could go a whole day without sinning. I bet you might even be able to go 2 days in a row. Romans 6 says that we used to be slaves to sin. But Romans 6 says that now we're slaves to righteousness. Are you following me? So let's quit making excuse for our bad behavior. Let's keep pressing on. And here's one place we've got to really pay close attention to. Verse 8, but no one can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. Because words destroy, we need to put a guard on our lips. You see, cold words freeze. Hot words scorch. Bitter words cannot be swallowed. Kind words soothe. Gentle words comfort. encouraging words strengthen and heal. Just a little exercise again. We love the pastor. Just think how wonderful that was. And how much better that made me feel. Now, kid, come on, somebody. But you see, our words have the power to build. So we don't just put a guard on our lips. Come on. Your words are either stumbling blocks that cause other people to trip up. I mean, there's nothing worse than in the middle of the night, getting out of bed, getting up to, you know, the call of nature, and you hit that thing with your toe, and it causes a big problem. Your words are like that. They're like stumbling blocks for people. They're causing people to trip up. They're causing big problems for other people. Or your words can be building blocks. Your words can build up. Your words can strengthen. Your words can heal. Your words can encourage. Your words can make people strong. As a matter of fact, Mark Twain said this. He said, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." There are some powerful words that we need to incorporate in our life more often. I love you. Powerful. I love you. It's very, very, very powerful. Now, you have to understand, we're all a work in progress. We're trying to make life better for the next generation. Okay? I'm not trying to be ugly here at all, but I told you about my grandmother that hurled insulting curse words at her children. At least my parents didn't do that with me. But they also weren't real verbal with "I love you." They didn't grow up that way. Neither one of them. You understand that? And maybe you grew up with a lot of "I love yous," but not everybody around us did. I bet if we took a survey, there'd be as many people in the room that didn't grow up hearing "I love you" very often as did. Maybe less heard it often. But it's so powerful. I was watching this television show the other night, and the main characters were really going at it. They had this horrible, horrible argument about what was right and wrong, and it was a father and son, and in the middle of that heated debate, the son said, "I love you." That was the end of the whole argument. It didn't solve it. They still disagreed. But one, "I love you." In other words, it doesn't matter that we don't agree here. I still love you. And what an affirming thing that is to hear. I love you. You're awesome. Powerful words. You are great. You're doing a great job. I'm so proud of you. I appreciate you. And of course, this week, very powerful words, "Thank you." Just thank you. Thank you. And just thanking people for the things that they do for us. Words build, so we can't stay silent. We're not perfect at this. But Michelle and I will be sitting around talking nice about somebody and observing something that they had done well. What we try to do is make it a practice then to tell them. Because it would be so encouraging to them. It would be so building for their life. It might come at a very important moment in their life. Look at Philippians chapter 2. This is how we need to live our life. Verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others." What if we did a better job of that with our words? What if we noticed what was being done around us? Just the little things. and just how we treat people and how we speak to them. And even if it's somebody's job, and even if they're getting paid to do it, and even if it wasn't the best we've ever seen, we just said thank you. Thank you. Appreciate you. You're doing a good job. Because we're not looking out for our own interests, but we're looking out for the interests of others. Well, that's their job. Boy, thank you is pretty cheap. I mean, it's pretty, you know, doesn't cost us a lot. Thank you. Look at Hebrews, if you will, please. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another daily. What's your understanding of the word exhort? Encourage, show love. But what does the word suggest, exhort? It's something that we're doing with our mouth. It's something that we're doing with our words. That we're using our words to build up another person. Exhort one another when they deserve it. Exhort one another when they do something extraordinarily, you know, way above and beyond. No, it just says this should be the normal way that we live our life. Exhort one another daily, while it is called today. You ever think, well, you know, I'm going to do that tomorrow? A little thing called procrastination. There's never a better time than later. I'll get around to it sometime. You know, there was a man that came to our church so many years ago. It was way back in the Winmore Dance Hall days. We did dance, but our church was the Winmore Dance Hall. And I remember this guy came, and he brought these little wooden things with a printing on it, and it said, to it on it. So everybody had a round to it. When you get around to it, you can do it. So it took away your excuse. You carried around to it with you all the time. In other words, today, every day of our life, we should be finding people to exhort and to encourage and to build up with our words. Exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. There's two things that happen here. The person that you're exhorting, the person that you're encouraging, the person that you're saying thank you to, the person that you're blessing is blessed. But it also does something in our own heart and our own life. It keeps us from being a hardened person. Keeps us from being hardened. Keeps us from being sterile. Keeps us from being stale. Keeps us from being negative. There's something about when you appreciate other people around you verbally, it causes you to be positive in your outlook. You see, at age 15, Perry Tanksley became a Sunday school dropout. I'm reading a book right now about why so many young people leave the church between age 16 and 22. But age 15, Perry Tanksley decided, I'm going to drop out of Sunday school. No one will miss me, he said to himself. So he was surprised a week or two later that Mr. Tinsdale, a bus driver who also taught the boys' Sunday school class, came to visit his home. Mr. Tinsdale's visit made such an impression on Perry that he immediately returned to Sunday school. Maybe it was the concern on Mr. Tisdale's face, or maybe it was the fact that Mr. Tisdale had walked over a mile from his home to tell this young man that he was missed. I miss you. Whatever it was, it worked because Perry Tanksley returned to Sunday school and later became a well-known pastor in his area. 25 years later, this pastor, Pastor Tanksley, felt this strong urge to write a letter of appreciation to his Sunday school teacher. In his letter, he wrote, "Mr. Tisdale, had you not walked up the road that day, placed your hand on the shoulder of a discouraged boy who needed desperately to know someone cared, it may well be that I would not be a pastor today. Thank you very much." A week later, Pastor Tanksley received a reply. It read, "Dear Perry, your letter came shortly after a near-fatal heart attack. Your words were better for me than a doctor's prescription. You see, I'd been reviewing my life and wondering if I'd ever done anything worthwhile. How glad and thankful I am that I walked that mile to win you back to Sunday school. Your letter has brought me encouragement and comfort." Guys, our words are powerful. They destroy or they build. Death and life are in the power of our tongue. Let's stop using our words to destroy things. Let's use our words to build things. Let's close with this. Psalm 15. Verse 1. "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" Here's the answer. Verse 2. "He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against a friend." Let's bow in prayer. Lord, help us to remember this message when we're about to say something that's going to do damage. We join with the psalmist in this statement, in this prayer. "Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight." Lord, help us not to stay silent. Help us to use our words to exhort, to strengthen, to heal. Teach us the power of our words in the lives of other people and even in our own life. Lord, we thank you so much for those who gave their lives to the Lord this past week, those who came back to you. But Father, we also pray that if there's any person in this service right now or are watching by live stream right now that needs to come back into right relationship to you, that today that he or she will. Father, we pray for the individuals that maybe have never made a decision to follow Jesus with their life. Pray today they would believe, confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. Amen. You see, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and you confess with your mouth that God raised him again from the dead, you shall be saved. That whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need to do that as we dismiss the service right now, then we'll be up here to receive you and pray with you. If you need to come back into right relationship with God today and you need some help with that, we're up here for you also. We love you. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Sunday.